Good evening. My name is Ben Brasso, and I'm the Assistant Public Information Officer for the Adirondack Park Agency. I will serve as the hearing officer for the public comment component of this hearing. We are conducting this hearing pursuant to Section 816 of the APA Act and in accordance with the Adirondack Park State Land Master Plan. As stated earlier, this is an opportunity for you to make comments on the record regarding proposed amendments to the Adirondack Park State Land Master Plan. Please be aware that this is not a question and answer session. Staff will be available after the hearing to answer any questions that you might have about the proposed amendments. I will call speakers based on the order in which they signed up. We have 11 for tonight's hearing. In the interest of fairness to everyone who would like to speak, I request that each speaker please conclude their remarks at 3 minutes. You can add to your comments by also submitting written ones, which is encouraged. As you speak, I will indicate when you have 1 minute remaining with a raised finger like so, and when you have reached 3 minutes with an open hand. I'll be just standing over to the side. Thank you in advance for your cooperation. Our first speaker is Pete Nelson.
First time I ever did a attendance at a public hearing, I didn't know anybody I was looking at. Now, oh my gosh, hello all. My name is Pete Nelson. I represent Adirondack Wilderness Advocates. We are delighted to be here tonight. I will attempt to be brief. We would like to compliment the agency on what we find to be overall a thoughtful and focused set of proposed amendments that deal with really vital issues facing the park. We have concerns that some of the draft language allows an overly permissive profile, especially with wilderness areas. We will talk in more detail in our written comments, but we have 4 areas that we're focusing on. I'll be very brief, but mention them. The first is visitor use management. We're champions of visitor use management. Along with Adirondack Wild, we are running a demonstration project at Jenkins Mountain. We think it's the right tool for managing the Adirondack Park. It's dynamic and it's adaptive, and we have dynamic problems we have to face. It's a tool, not a policy. We're concerned about permissive policy. We don't believe the visitor use management as itself, as a tool, is permissive. The closest project in the High Peaks to visitor use management isn't the pilot project going on now. Hello, Kathy Regan. It is the Summit Steward Program, which is a rock solid evidence-based argument that things other than limiting visitors work, and they work well. So the language has to be precise. We have to understand how we fit into policy and that we don't compromise our wilderness values, but it's the right tool. Our second concern is motorized devices in the wilderness. There's confusion over what kind of devices are we going to allow, other power-driven mobility devices, for example. From our perspective, the Americans for Disabilities Act 1990 and the 2008 amendment define wheelchairs very clearly, and I quote, a device designed solely for use, by a mobility-impaired person for locomotion that is suitable for use in an indoor pedestrian area. To us, that makes a clear delineation about the kind of device we'd be concerned about on wilderness trails and also wild forest trails. We unequivocally support wheelchair access, including battery-powered devices in wilderness. We see no need for the other power-driven mobility devices to be part of the calculation. And we'd like to see that removed, particularly for wilderness areas. Briefly on beaver control structures, the language around wilderness feels a little more permissive. As one of our board members said, we should be changing our behavior in response to beaver activity in wilderness, not the other way around. And finally, non-conforming structures. We'll have a lot in our written comments, and it's hard to talk about in any detail. It's complicated. But we do not like the idea that it's open-ended. The dates that don't make any sense should be removed, but we can't leave it open-ended on a case-by-case basis. And it won't surprise you to know that we will have some suggestions for the agency as to how to negotiate that particular situation. Thanks once again for the opportunity to comment. I appreciate it. Have a lovely evening.
Thank you, Pete. Kathy Regan.
Hello, Pete, you and I should have talked about this before tonight. I'm going to say things a lot differently than what you said. And for full disclosure, I'm a former APA employee. And during my 14 years there, I've worked on several amendments and classification packages. I will be submitting written comments later. I understand the amount of work and coordination that went into such an effort because I've gone through it several times. And I believe the majority of changes suggested are good, but I do have a few concerns and suggestions. I do not like that this classification action was added into this slump amendment for this track. Although I agree with the fact that you're suggesting Four Peaks Track be classified as wild forest. I believe that keeping classification actions as a separate package enable the people to better evaluate alternatives. I couldn't find figures from unclassified land on the APA's webpage. The data that was listed was last from 2021, listed some 4,600 acres of unclassified land, yet in 2023, 5,800 acres of land were classified. So I'm not sure exactly how much land is not classified right now or needs to be reclassified. I just think confusing a slump amendment with a classification package isn't ideal. I do like the terms that wheelchair and other power-driven mobility devices have been defined. I do not like that DEC, unlike OPRHP, does not have a policy developed for these devices, for the OPDMDs, because I've got another acronym to learn. On the DEC's website, I could only find a document entitled Procedures for Implementing Reasonable Accommodations in Programs and Services for Individuals with Disabilities. That is not a policy. It's a procedure or a process that the state agencies are supposed to follow to develop a policy. OPRHP has a good policy, and I think that that needs to be looked at before DEC can issue any of these permits or whatever we would be calling them. I did like the beaver control devices was added. I recognize that you were silent on the materials that could be made when most stuff in a wilderness has to be made out of natural materials when possible. I don't even know how you do that with a beaver control device. My concern with this one was that prevention of introduction of invasive species wasn't added until the wild forest guideline. And I think it's because it relates to stream improvement structures, but I'm not sure. So that might need to be clarified. And I'm also in favor of enabling the DEC limited, emphasis on limited, use of motor vehicles for removing non-conforming structures. And this is what's going to surprise everybody coming from me, including me, is that I think that that might be a little short-sighted. I think that you should have a discussion and talk about it, if not at this action, at a future action, of whether motor vehicles might sometimes be used for removing conforming structures. Dams are conforming structures in a wilderness area. And if we had been able to use motor vehicles to take out Marcy Dam, we would have protected the wetland that was downstream from that in much better than what it was, thus siltation. There's also, I've been seeing a lot of work going on the west branch, or excuse me, the east branch of the Ausable River, which is also in a wilderness area, which had heavy equipment in it. So again, I think I'm really nervous about suggesting this, but I think the discussion needs to be happening, that we look at it and maybe limit it to only restoration or rehabilitation to natural conditions on a very limited basis. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Peter Bauer? Thank you. Peter Bauer with Protect the Adirondacks. We will submit our full detailed comments at a later date. Tonight, I just want to focus on two issues, climate change and motor vehicles and wilderness. On climate change, it's ironic, the changes that are being proposed in the State Land Master Plan. The agency heretofore has refused to develop a policy for how it's going to take the CLCPA goals for greenhouse gas emissions and to control those into its regulatory sphere, including into its state land management. There's no policy for private land regulation, there's no policy for public land regulation, yet you're moving ahead to add this into the state land master plan. So we're concerned about that.
As far as the proposed changes for the other power-driven mobility devices, we have a lot of concerns about that. There is nothing that changes wilderness character more than bringing in a gasoline-powered engine into wilderness, and that's what's being proposed. We don't think it makes sense to change the motor vehicle definition. We think these are motor vehicles, and they should be defined that way. We don't think that the DEC is accurately complying with the Americans with Disabilities Act. The ADA states that a fundamental change, if a program is going to be fundamentally changed by the ADA, it's not supposed to move forward. Wilderness has been exempted at the federal level, and there are opportunities for states at the state level to also protect areas. There are many cases having to do with historic preservation, among other things, where the fundamental nature, the fundamental program is not changed by the ADA to make accommodations. And we think that bringing motor vehicle access, motor vehicles into wilderness changes the fundamental program. We have lots of concerns with how the DEC is managing the program now. DEC, in the requests that it's receiving for these other powered mobility devices, administers an ad hoc, case-by-case basis process. We think there should be a written process. The CP3, the commissioner's CP3 policy for ATV use for disabled access to the forest preserve, has worked very well for the last 20 years. That's a coherent, written policy. It was publicly vetted. We think there needs to be a written policy, a commissioner's policy for other powered mobility devices. We think that's the way to comply with the Department of Justice 2011 criteria, not for the subjective ad hoc process. A commissioner's policy, we think, should come before an amendment to the state land master plan. We think that that follows a proper process. We're concerned that DEC's lack of a written policy, is inconsistent with how the Office of Parks, they have a written policy. Vermont, Pennsylvania, California have written policies. There's lots of other states that have written policies that are protective of their natural resources while at the same time providing opportunities for disabled folks in wild areas. And we think that what the agency has laid out here is not well thought out. We think it's going to be detrimental to our wilderness, primitive, and canoe areas in particular. And we think you should be working to hold the DEC accountable to do the work that they need to do to develop their policies before you change the state land master plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Joe Pete Wilson.
Thank you. This opportunity to speak in public and face-to-face is very valuable, and I really appreciate this opportunity. My first comment is a general one, that increasing accessible recreation opportunities is the right and proper direction for the state to direct planning and investment, so it's important for the slump to reflect this. Number two, the impacts of climate change should be addressed in a consistent and thorough manner, so this should be included in UMPs. As part of this process, planning for projects on state land should be coordinated with adjacent property owners who are downhill or downstream from the state project to make sure that the whole system is being addressed and not just applying a spot fix. This is especially important if there's road or other infrastructure downstream that will be affected by changes upstream. Planning for the whole system is critical in truly mitigating impacts, and it is safer and cheaper to plan properly and thoroughly rather than continuously rebuild after emergencies. My third comment, the visitor use management framework should be an integral part of the UMP development process. This would be a positive planning tool in developing UMPs. However, the VUM process needs to be carried out in a comprehensive manner. I'm concerned that the VUM project currently underway is limited in scope and focuses on just one element, and therefore won't produce meaningful recommendations where they are needed most. So a true, thorough VUM framework is really what's needed. And my final comment, unit management plans need a hard deadline for completion and review. UMPs should not be allowed to sit uncompleted. Outdated UMPs should not be used as an excuse for no action to be taken. The state land master plan should require UMPs to be completed, up to date, and reviewed every 5 years. In addition, there should be a clear and objective process for a stakeholder with a legitimate interest to have a UMP reopened before the five-year deadline is reached. Conditions in some areas change more rapidly than the current process can handle. And as an example, impacts to private landowners who host trailheads need to be addressed before the landowner is frustrated and revokes permission to access state land through their property. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe Pete. Guy Stevenson? All right. Julia Gorin.
Way down. Thank you for the opportunity to provide comments. My name is Julia Gorin. I am the interim executive director of the Adirondack Mountain Club. We represent approximately 27,000 recreationists and land stewardship advocates across the country who are passionate about the protection of public lands and waters of the Adirondack Park. Tonight, I'd like to highlight ADK's thoughts and some concerns about the proposed language revisions regarding other power-driven mobility devices. We appreciate the agency's updates to address accessibility. All deserve to be welcomed and to have the opportunity to experience the forest preserve. We also recognize that the identified changes update definitions to meet federal definitions and to reflect current practices. The Adirondack Park needs a comprehensive plan for accessibility and accessible features, including where other power-driven mobility devices are and are not appropriate. This is right, it is responsible, both for all people and for the natural resources and wilderness values of the Adirondack Park. Long-range comprehensive planning is the responsibility of the Adirondack Park Agency, not the Department of Environmental Conservation. It is not appropriate for the APA to abdicate its responsibility for this planning to the department. APA must do the planning and develop the documents to provide guidance so that the use of OPDMDs on the forest preserve is in keeping both with the language of the ADA and with the intent of the SLUMP. As many have mentioned, Office of Parks provides clear written guidance that is a good model from which to draw upon. Thank you.
Thank you, Julia. Jackie Bowen.
My name is Jackie Bowen. I am the Director of Conservation at the Adirondack Council. Thank you for the opportunity to provide comments tonight. So we want to begin tonight by reminding the agency that the guiding mandate of the SLUMP is that natural resource protection is paramount. It's a line that is regurgitated again and again, but not for the mere act of doing so, but because it carries the weight of legal review. In reviewing the number of proposed changes for the SLUMP, that guiding mandate appears to be weakened. While human use of the forest preserve is and should be supported, it should not come at the cost of weakening natural resource protections. And I'll say that, and we will be submitting additional and deeper comments on the proposed changes. But some of our top-level concerns include climate. So we do support the inclusion of the climate language, but it currently focuses on built infrastructure. We see that there's an opportunity to better align with and meet the goals and mandates of the CLCPA, which another staff member will be talking on shortly. For other power mobility devices, the council continues to struggle why this language is being added to the state land master plan at this time. Is there an intent to do so with the Catskill SLUMP as well, if they're looking to mirror each other? The department agency staff have explained that carving out the OPDMDs is intended to more transparently identify the process DEC currently employs for reviewing and approving these devices on public lands across the state, including Adirondack Forest Preserve. We support the intent of transparency. However, when read in the context of the slump, the inclusion of the OPMD language is almost appearing to propose a new use, which could include segways, e-bikes, and other devices not yet dreamt of. We appreciate that the DEC and APA are following the federal ADA. However, slump is not the place to address this transparency issue. Rather, DEC should develop a statewide policy, as New York State Parks and other states have done. And also add that through the ADA, the agencies are tasked with or encouraged to develop implementing policies such as this. We are concerned that the proposed, we'd also like to shed light on the separate and distinct roles APA and DEC play for the Adirondack Forest Preserve. According to the Act, APA is tasked with maintaining the slump and ensuring that unit management plans and actions comply with the State Land Master Plan. In short, DEC is the land manager and APA is a compliance officer. There are checks and balances on each other for the health and protection of state lands in the park. However, it appears that through these amendments, the agency is seeking to limit its own authority. For example, the agency is proposing the deletion of structural removal dates as well as road and administrative road closure dates and wilderness and other land classes rather than asking for new dates the department has to meet. Because compliance on these elements was not met does not mean that the removal of the accountability measure is the right course of action. The subtle abdication of authority by the agency could result in long-term impacts, diminished oversight of the Forest Preserve, and with growing demands, pressures, retention of that oversight to provide the strength of the checks and balance system is more warranted than ever. We look forward to providing comments in Albany on VUM and other issues as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. Jess Grant.
Good evening. Can everyone hear me okay? Thank you for hosting a public hearing tonight and offering the opportunity for public comment on the proposed updates to the State Land Master Plan. My name is Jess Grant, and I'm also providing comments for the Adirondack Council with an emphasis on the climate sections. The Council is pleased to see Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act language in the slump, recognizing a need for maintaining intact forests and wetlands as carbon sinks and ensuring resilient and connected landscapes for species whose ranges are shifting is a critical piece of maintaining the ecological integrity of the Adirondack Park. Because these are broad goals, the Council requests the development of guidance documents to describe how to achieve maximizing nature-based greenhouse gas sequestration, storage, and climate resiliency. Furthermore, the use of snowmobiles and emissions levels should be assessed. Cutting of trees and impacts to mitigation efforts, movement of forest pests and pathogens across the landscape, and other climate exacerbated threats should be considered in addition to what's captured in the proposed climate language. In addition, the updates to the unit management plan development section would benefit from strengthened climate language. First, there's a missed opportunity to include a carbon inventory within all updated UMPs. Second, management actions that expand use must be in line with land classification restrictions and the natural resources present on the land. Third, nature-based mitigation actions must be described to move beyond the current reactionary management approach. The Council will provide recommended language in regards to carbon and soil carbon inventories, conforming structures, land classification, and climate mitigation within our forthcoming written comments. Thank you for the opportunity to comment and continue to improve the protection of state land resources within the Adirondack Park.
Thank you, Jess. Griffin Archambault.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. My name is Griffin Archambault. I'm the research biologist at the Adirondack Center for Loon Conservation, and I have our executive director, Dr. Nina Schock, here with us tonight as well. We do plan on submitting a written comment, as many other folks have mentioned, that will go into more detail about what we'll be talking about. But as was mentioned in the presentation, loons are species that are unable to walk on land. They have their legs positioned at the backside of their body rather than underneath, like a duck. So they must nest very close to the water's edge. This makes their nest very susceptible to flooding. As was also mentioned by other folks and in the presentation, climate change is increasing in its severity in the Adirondacks as it is globally. Our summers are becoming hotter and having more precipitation, more torrential rain events. I'm sure everyone here is familiar with that. Over the past few decades that the Adirondack Center for Loon Conservation has been doing loon monitoring in the Adirondacks, we have seen an increase in the amount of nest failures due to flooding. And with the torrential rain events increasing in their severity and frequency, we do expect to see this more often. Nest rafts, a wildlife management structure that was mentioned in the presentation, have been shown to be an effective mitigation strategy for loon nest flooding, predation, human disturbance, or other factors that could be mitigated by a nest raft. And loons are a classic K-selected species, which means that they're very long-lived and they have a low reproductive rate. So in order to ensure that we have a viable population for a long period of time, we need a lot of healthy breeding age adults that are able to nest successfully for a long period of time to accommodate for that low reproductive rate. So we need nest rafts and other wildlife management structures to ensure the preservation of these species for years to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Griffin. Ron Conowitz.
Okay. This isn't a very good podium, huh? No real problem to it. So my name is Ron Conowitz. Most of you know me. I have lived in the town of Keene for the last 45 years full time. I spent my whole life in the Adirondacks, either part time and now full time for 45 years. I was a teacher at Keene Central School for 31 of those. I been a fireman for 35 years in Keene Valley. I was a volunteer search and rescuer for the New York State Forest Rangers for 45 years. A couple years ago, I was working as a trailhead steward, and it was a guy that about my age that grew up in Willsboro, and I was explaining to him what we're trying to do with ski trails, and a few days later, this came in the mail. It's an original copy of the State Land Master Plan from 1972. It was given to him by Peter Payne himself, one of the authors of this. It's a brilliant document. He gave it to him because he was running the bowling alley in Willsboro. And as you know, the state land master plan was pretty contentious with a lot of the people that lived here. And Peter, you know, gave it to him and said, you know, but we are going to be revising this over time. And so I read through it. And ski touring is mentioned three times in this document, not just in wild forest, but in wilderness. It's encouraged. It's also a growing activity. This is 1972. Ski touring is to be encouraged in both wilderness, and it specifically talks about it in the high peaks, that it's a very, very popular activity in the eastern high peaks. And so I had a couple books. I looked up ski touring, 1948. Ski touring is going up with climbing skins on your skis and then skiing back down again. Okay. By the way, cross-country skiing is not mentioned at all in the State Land Master Plan, the original one. So then I went to this. This is by the Adirondack Mountain Club, 1972. It lists an example of a ski touring trail is the Mount Marcy Trail from the Adirondack Lodge to the top of Mount Marcy. So what do they mean by ski touring? You know, it's not even, cross-country is not even mentioned in there. The bike definition. Okay. So a few years ago, the agency made a change, and they came up with a definition for bikes. And for bikes, it says, oh, no, I lost it. I got the J News on here. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Oh, boy, I'm missing time here. Okay, anyway, for bike trails, it's a marked trail designated for travel by bicycles, located and designed to provide access in the manner causing the least effect on the local environment. That's the definition in the slump for bike trails. In 2015, we were actually presented this by, I think Kevin wrote it, or helped write it, at one of our meetings. I know Rocky remembers this. In February 2015, this is Open Woods Ski Routes. Open Woods Ski Routes, a marked and maintained route. This is for a definition in the slump, a possibility. It's only a draft. where only minimal intermittent live vegetation removal is necessary for creation and management without tread improvements on which use requires a cover of snow with sufficient depth to protect soils and vegetation, substantially invisible when snowpack is absent, to allow forest succession, yada, yada, yada. Okay, it's a long definition. Why can't ski touring be just like a bike trail? Why can't it be a marked trail designated for travel by skis, located and designed to provide access in the manner causing the least effect on the local environment? If our tree count is low and we're not manipulating the ground, we're not going to be a constitutional issue. So what's the problem? Why does it have to have the character of a foot trail? Ski trails are different. Horse trails are different. Mountain bike trails are different. Why do they have to have the character of a foot trail? The cross-country ski trail definition still says character and dimension of a foot trail. What does that mean? Does that mean rock steps? Does that mean water bars? Does that mean lots of roots sticking up and trails that are 20 feet wide in a lot of places? Is that the character of a foot trail? Because that's what it is right now on the ground in the Adirondacks. Because I live there, I hike all the time. We will send our comments in another letter. Our attorney is drafting that. This notebook is filled up with meeting notes and presentations that we've done since 2013 when we started the Adirondack Powder Ski Association. The time is now. We'd like to see a slump amendment. We're not a constitutional issue. We're in the slump. Ski touring is a low impact. It's supposed to be encouraged in both wilderness and wild forest. Thank you for the time, and I hope we can see some movement. It's been 52 years since this slump was written, where ski touring was mentioned three times as to be encouraged in wilderness and wild forest.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Barb Rotier.
My name is Barbara Rotier, and I've been involved in Adirondack stuff for a while. I'll try to limit my comments. Visitor use management, I think, cannot and should not replace carrying capacity. Carrying capacity has long been a requirement in the slump, and it should stay there as the primary component for weighing impacts. And I say this because I attended the visitor use management form that they had, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but in Saranac Lake and with the OTEC staff. And the question posed there was, what would you like to see, what would you like to do in this area that happens to be for the High Peaks area? What would you like to, what services would you like to see? What would you like your experience to be that would make it better? And those are okay questions, except for they fail to start with the important initial premise, which is what the law says to start with. And the question should be preceded by an explanation of the legal and constitutional constraints and with respect to the High Peaks area, the constraint would be that it's wilderness. So there's a lot of things that people might like and want to do in wilderness that will not be allowed because of the Constitution. And similarly, the law requires, and I think somebody else spoke on this, the protection of natural resources is paramount. So the air, the water, plants, the animals, that's paramount to use by the people. It certainly is a primary concern, and that's, again, imposed by the Constitution and the current slump. And so the visitor use management setup doesn't do that. And carrying capacity specifically requires the evaluation of impact on resources. And those are the resources for the area that you're looking at, but also in the surrounding community, which I think also was mentioned by someone else here. And I would just reiterate with regard to the ADA stuff that, in fact, you don't have to change your program to accommodate disabled people. And there are other ways to do it. One way would be to set up programs where you actually take people into the wilderness or into wild forest and give them the experience without using mobility, motorized mobility devices. So those are things that could be done that the EC could implement. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Barb. This concludes today's Adirondack Park State Land Master Plan public hearing. The agency thanks you for your participation. Please review the 2024 proposed amendment package that is found on our website, and please submit your comments to the agency for consideration by December 2nd. As I mentioned before, staff will also be around for a little while this afternoon if you have further questions. Thank you.